after I read this gospel, I know why all Catholics sit in the back of church now. My son-in-law works by fixing appliances. He used to work for American and Madison when it was for many years. And then when it closed, he actually started to work for a company that made commercial appliances. And he went from working on little ones that you'd put oven, you know, little muffins in, to big walk-in ovens where they'd slide big trays of things. And he learned how to do that for a couple of years. And then he opened his own business of fixing appliances. I'm not telling you this to get business for him. I'm telling you that because in his working experience for decades, he met a lot of different people and a lot of different classes of people, because he fixed all the way from very, very high-end things to very low-end things. And he also worked with a lot of restaurant people and serviced a lot of people with things like that. And as I read today's gospel, I thought about all the people that are mentioned in that gospel, rich, poor, everything. And I thought of him and his experience with people as he would tell me how it was, how some people would be very nice and kind to him, and some people were just treating him like a servant. When he went and saw the commercial appliance business for a couple years, he was amazed how sometimes the installations were done so poorly that it was actually dangerous for the people that were working with that equipment. And he said, don't people care that people are going to be doing this? He came recently back from a very wealthy home, and he was telling me that they treated him like he was a servant, and he felt really terrible about it. And yet he's been to houses of people, and I know you won't believe this, but he's been to houses of people where after he was done and he gave them the bill, the people said, no, you worked harder than that. Here's extra money. As I think about what I talked about last week, if you happen to be here last week, I talked about, is our culture changing from one of trust to being more one of suspicion, and how that affects our relationships with one another. And I thought about what Jesus is telling us today and how he uses the image of our home to get the message across to us. If someone came to our house that was a good friend and was in need of something to talk about, something that happened in their lives, we wouldn't invite them to our dining room table and say, here, sit here, I'm going to put out the best china, wait, I'll do this. No, you'd sit them down at your kitchen table, make them a cup of coffee or a tea, and you'd say, tell me what's going on. Jesus today is telling us that we should treat everyone we meet as if they're being invited to our kitchen table. So I ask you, how do we treat the people that we meet? And I don't mean strangers and things. I mean the people that we see all the time, the people that we love. It made me think that today's gospel is, how do we treat people? And Jesus is telling us that we should treat everyone as if they're being invited to our kitchen table to sit down. We have one word for inviting people to our kitchen table. And you heard it in the first reading. We use the word humility. Humility is the action of inviting people to your kitchen table. The word humility, though, to me is dangerous because everybody hears it and it means so much, and we immediately think of ourselves. And I particularly have a problem with humility because I think I'm special. And I have all the time, I run into the problem where I am quite proud of my humility. So I have trouble with that on myself when I think about humility. And in fact, I looked up Webster's definition of humility, and it's freedom from pride or arrogance. Freedom from pride or arrogance. First thing I thought is, well, good luck with that one. I also looked at the root of humility, and it comes from the word humilis, which means low. So I thought about what makes us low. Many times, serious humility only comes from something bad that happens in our lives. We lose our jobs, we get a divorce, we were engaged and didn't work, somebody really told us something about ourselves that we know was true, but it really hurt us. That kind of serious humility is not what I'm talking about, because that to me is God's wake-up call. I can't do anything about that type of humility that we all have experienced. But as I read about the readings and I thought about what I said last week, I want to talk about a humility that I think we can do something about and see. To me, humility can be a noun. Humility is a virtue. I want to practice the virtue of humility. It can be an adjective. There's a humble person, by the way they are. All the people in the back, you're all humble. That's good. It can be an adverb. You can act humbly when you're doing something to do. But also can be a verb. And it's a verb of humility that I want to talk about, and I want to tell you that I think that's something we can do something about. To me, the verb of humility, you are as humble as you, as well as you treat the people that you meet every day and the people that you run into every day. Let me give you another example. Last week was my mom's birthday party, and she's here, so I can't tell you how old she was, or she said she would disown me. We had all my brothers and sisters. I come from a family of eight, so we had all our brothers and sisters together for the first time since I can remember. And also all our kids, my kids, all their nephews and nieces, they're all running around, and they haven't seen us all together for such a long time. At the end of the birthday party, my daughter comes up to me, the one who has Moses and Millie, and she said, "Dad," he said, "everybody was just pushing me around. That my brothers and sisters, when she was trying to go through the door and someone was coming, they just push her out of the way and do something. When they were coming for the food, they just push her out of the way and go in front of her and grab food. And when they were going outside to sit down, they push her out of the seats that were in the shade and make her go sit in the sun." And I thought to myself for the first day, I said, "Well, honey, you don't come from a family of eight." I said, "It wasn't," and I said, "when we were having dinner, it's not like they said, 'You go first.' No, you go first." No, that's not what it was like. I said, it was the biggest got the bestest stuff. And so I thought about that, but then I thought, you know, we're all 50s and 60s. We're not little kids anymore. Why are we behaving like that? And it bothered me because I actually know I behaved like that for a very long time, where I would like push people. I wouldn't push them, but if I was walking and somebody's coming towards me, I'd try to get ahead of them. And it was a few decades ago that I started to actually pay attention, and I was humbled by having a few people look at me like I was rude, because I was, about trying to get in front of them and doing things like that. So I thought about, even in our families, how do we treat people from what we're doing? Jesus tells us to take a look at how we treat people, and also to say to us, what's the reasons that we don't treat people well? What's the reasons that when you're under stress or you're in a hurry that you don't realize the person in front of you is a person? And can we do something about that? Can we pay attention to it? So I ask you this week, pay attention to how you treat people. Give yourself a little report card. Would you get 50% good, 75% good? How about shooting for 100% good and treating every person that you meet as if they're going to be invited to your kitchen table? One of the things that I thought about, considering what I said last week, I really believe this can be a remedy for mistrust. If I was lamenting last week on how we don't trust people the same way, what do we do about it? This is what we do about it. You treat everyone as if you're inviting them to the kitchen table. Most of the time when we don't trust somebody, we wait for them to do something. "I'm not going to trust you until you show me this." Now it's something I'm asking you to, you can do something first. You can invite them in your mind to the kitchen table and treat them as if they're like that. So that's what I was thinking. It's a remedy for mistrust in our society. And again, think of doing just the little things for people. Make them feel welcome. Make them feel like they matter. And yes, make them feel special. Because that's what God does. He makes every one of us feel special every moment.